So this is Phantom Electric Ghost, and we're live on the air, and we have Teresa Dugwell on the line tonight. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Good. I want to welcome you to the Phantom Electric Ghost podcast. We are live on our Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch channel, and we're talking to a three-time Guinness World Record holder, mission-driven results coach, and we're going to talk to you about all that. We do want to mention that we are a featured podcast on Newsly. That is a different podcast network. And we do have, for those of you who are watching or listening, if you use that coupon code GHOST, you can check that out for free for 30 days. We are a featured podcast on that platform. The audio version, an audio version of this podcast will be on there later tonight. But we also have your URL that we have here. We have this go.oncehub.com and then /Teresa Dugwell. That will be fully clickable. You'll have to remember that, because when we publish, that is fully clickable and people will be able to go right to it. So we wanted to tell people that. And then the focus of today's episode, and we'll talk about a lot of things, but mission-driven, how to live a life of purpose while building your business, which is kind of the overall theme, but we'll get into a lot of other things. But one of the first things we always ask any guest on the podcast is one of the things we like to ask is, like, what motivates you and why do you do what you do?
Okay, good question. What motivates me? One of the things that I'm really driven by is, let me just actually just adjust something here. My computer just moved a bit. So here we go. Okay.
That's fine.
Is it good? Okay. It's hard to tell on the screen. One of the things that motivates me is, for me, is when I'm doing something that I feel I'm contributing to people's lives, making a difference in people's lives. I find that's in the form of contribution, there's always a sense of fulfillment. One of the things that I've learned is that when you're contributing and when you're growing as a person, those two human needs right there, spirit human needs, are what give us the greatest fulfillment in our lives. And so that's important.
Yeah, that's an important thing to kind of like focus on, because I think one of the things I also was interested in is your concept of like cooks versus chefs philosophy.
Yeah.
We can kind of dive into that, because that's kind of like you, it's one of the things that I was interested in, and like, well, what does that get into? So maybe you can talk about like what those approaches are in terms of philosophical concepts.
Yeah. So the chef's versus cook philosophy came from an experience that I had, and I'll give you the story with that. I go to Starbucks and I like my lattes, the latte, and I have it with almond milk. And one of the things that I do sometimes, I would order my drink. It's just a basic almond milk latte with some stevia. And I take the lid off my cup. I took the lid off my cup once, and it was really dark, and it was just a cup of coffee. It looked like there was nothing to it. And then I went again, and the next one that I had, actually the third one, I took the lid off, and there was this big heart on my drink. I thought, well, that's interesting. I even have photos. I took photos of it because it was such an interesting study, and I want to really study what this is all about. And I thought, interesting how one was just plain basic latte, nothing special. It was exactly the transaction that I requested. Whereas the other one, when I took that lid off, became an experience, not just a transaction, because it had this heart on it. And I felt, wow, that was so nice. And so I was thinking, well, that's interesting. I wonder what's behind the psychology of the person that is just doing the transaction versus the person that actually created the heart, because there's something different there. And that could be the same for what we're doing in our lives. Is what you're doing right now, if you really take a look at it, are you in, when you go to your work or when you have your business, is it a transaction that you do on a consistent basis, or are you creating hearts? Are you contributing and feeling that, making a more of an experience?
Yeah.
That's where that came from.
It's like that creative thing. I think of the chef is like, you know, is a creative type of person.
Yeah.
So every time they make a dish or something, it's got that artistic bent, you know, that a creative, like, yeah, I'm a musician, so but a writer or a photographer or somebody in the theater, it's that type of thing. It's that, like, that creative spark is the thing that makes it that individual experience. Yeah. And the chef, you know, is doing the same thing that any artist does. They're putting their stamp on it. They're putting their kind of creative edge.
Exactly. And that's exactly it. You could, if you have, let's just say, a piece of chicken and a potato, and you hand that to a fast cook, they'll cook the chicken, the potato. But if you take it to a chef, actually, I'll give you a story here. And I forget where I read it, but it was such an interesting story. Where this gentleman wanted to have like a leading restaurant. He wanted his restaurant to stand out. And so he was downtown and he saw a hot dog vendor. And he saw how people were buying hot dogs, and the hot dogs were basically grilled and then put in a bun and people took them away. And he thought, I think I'm going to take hot dogs to my chef and see what we can create. And his chef created the hot dog into something so much more extravagant. And suddenly this became a popular dish in his restaurant, hot dogs. And because the way they were presented, it was an experience. Whereas, of course, the cook that was creating them on at the vendor was also creating experience too, but it was just the same thing.
Yeah.
And there
it's
was
more immediate. It's kind of repeatable, like a widget.
It's like
the difference between a widget and a piece of art. Because like the widget is very consistent. It might be something you want that. So it's like, you know, you go to the fast food restaurant and you get the kind of, well, that's the corporate stamp. It's like the same thing all the time. Versus if you go to some, you know, in New Hampshire, we have a lot of like non-chain restaurants, a lot of like restaurants that are very individual chefs that have their own thing. And it's like, it might not be a five-star, but it's like each one of these entrepreneurs has their own stamp on what they think food should be. And the customers go there because it's like, it's not like the corporate chain, because it's like, it's their passion and they do something different. And that to me is always the individual. It's like, I'd rather go to a local donut shop, not go to the big chain, because like that guy's making these donuts and nobody else has that. They don't exist anywhere else but that shop. And I'm like, that's kind of cool. I like that point in time kind of thing that somebody has their own recipe, they have their own thing, their own, you know, stamp on it.
Yeah. Yeah. And one of the things I believe when we talk about mission and business, and that is when, if you start to feel like it's a transaction in what you're doing, just a transaction, then you really want to take a look at that, because first of all, it's your life, and how can you, it doesn't mean you have to look at, well, that's not the right thing for me, but rather, well, how can you actually change that? What is it that you need to do differently? How do you need to be, and how do you need to actually, what meaning do you need to give to what you're doing in order to start to change that from that, just that transaction, to that heart, that ability to make it more of a mission. And how can you adjust things? And that doesn't mean you have to leave what you're doing, but rather it's accessing a greater meaning to what you're doing, if that's possible.
It's interesting, because a lot of times in the world, we're kind of trained to get into the cubicle, right? Or to get into the mode of, this is an accountant, this is a doctor, this is a lawyer, this is the archetype of what you're supposed to do. And you know, it's like, if you think about it, like if you get like a bell curve, it's the creative type people are on the edges of the bell curve. Mm-hmm. They're not really the Henry Ford assembly line thing, right? They're not going to be able to just do that every day. They're not going to be comfortable just sitting in that cubicle doing the same widget perfectly every day. They want to do something that's less predictable.
Yeah.
And that, you know, people have a hard time with that, because they want to have the predictable thing. They have to know what the outcome is going to be. It's kind of safe and it's known, like whether you have these, but they have this idea in music, it's like the not known sounds or unfound sounds versus known sounds. And like, you know, I'm a synthesist, so I create sounds from scratch. Where you have people today, they like the sample, They like the clone. They like the copy. Yeah. I like to take an oscillator and take a waveform, like a sine wave, and make my own tone, which I don't know what it will be tomorrow. I don't know what it was yesterday. It's a kind of point in time.
Yeah.
It's that sound that came up in the moment, which is not as predictable as something that could have been cloned or sampled or repeated or grabbed from some digital system.
And from what I can hear from you is that you've taken something that you love music, you love, and it's a value of yours. The creativity is high on your values, like creating. And so you've created your world around that with many aspects of it, which keeps adding to it. There's contribution in that, there's growth in it for you, because as you expand in the world work that you're doing. And Dr. DeMartini, I'm sure you've heard of him. He's very, very well known and was from The Secret. And he has a very, very good values scale, a way to evaluate your values on his website. And what I learned actually reading some of his material also is that when we can connect to what we truly value in our life, let's say, for instance, if you like cooking, if that's, and you're not doing it enough and you're not adding it into your world, then of course it's going to, you're not going to get that extra juice, that energy. So you need to look at what do you really love? Like, how can you incorporate that into your life so that you're feeding that part of you that wants to grow, and it can always show up when you contribute, as I said earlier. That's a big one.
That's interesting too, because like, health and fitness is another part of like you're creating success. But a lot of times some people, like they don't take care of themselves because they get kind of caught up in a rat race. Mm. Like if they get caught up in like, I got to be on a plane Monday to Thursday, you know, I got to be in traffic. I got to be on this train. I got to be in the cubicle 12 hours.
Yeah.
I can't eat right. I got to eat fast food because I got to be at the meeting. So I don't have time to cook for myself or eat right. And so they start not having space for, you know, some things that are important to your overall success. It's like, it's not just showing up and doing the, you know, crazy hours. It's like, you need to have your mind, your body, your heart, your spirit in the right place. You can be more effective, and you do need to take some time. And maybe the boss maybe doesn't think that, but like, you have to take some time to be in the right place.
Yeah, and just with reflection on like my fitness and of course my world records and all my running and a number of things in the physical part, I'll tell you just I grew up with a single mom and I never grew up with a dad, and I had two little sisters. So I grew up very quickly. We didn't have very much. And the one thing though that I had to learn what I did have control over, and I was paying attention. And so I got into running, and that was something I could control and something I could build on, because I had to be my own protector. I had to take care of myself and make sure that I could run away from the bullies. Actually, that's how it all started, running away from bullies. That's where my running started. And when I was 12 years old, to escape the bullies, I would run to school every morning, run home at lunchtime, run back out. And my running started there. Thank goodness for that motivation there. And so growing up with a single mom and two little sisters, and we were challenged, but I knew that my physical part, which I had control over, if I felt, whenever I ran, I would feel more confident. I felt happier. And so, you know, it just changed. It was what just added to me. And it was the one thing I felt like I could accomplish. And when I did my first marathon, I remember, which was like 20 something years ago, and I've done 23 since. But when I did my first marathon, I remember finishing at the end, thinking, and I was very emotional because I thought it was something I had achieved on my own, and I had to push myself. And one of the things that I find for whenever we want to improve, let's just say fitness, we have to look at our standards. What are the current standards you're living by? What are you accepting of yourself? Where are you allowing yourself to slack off? And when is it going to be time for you to look at what is something you can shift? Even if it was just, I always say, don't try and work out 5, 6, 7 days a week when you're just getting started. I say, go 1 day a week, go for 15 minutes, just begin. It's just that little shift in that one area starts to raise the standards. And it's when we start to raise our standards that we start to feel better about ourselves. And it's just a ripple effect. And as you stack them on a consistent basis.
It sounds like, you know, the incremental sustainable efforts you can do are going to be more productive than trying to do like 0 to 100. Like a lot of people, they see, well, like, I'm going to do this amazing new program. I see some person on social media and say, well, you do this and you get quick fix, you're going to be right to that. And, you know, what I've kind of learned over time is like, as a musician, it's like, it's the kind of incremental discipline. Like if you want to stay, just keep your chops up while you practice. Well, you have to decide how much you practice, but you practice. So if you're going to practice once a week, twice a week, three times, but you practice so you have some kind of set schedule that you can actually meet and you don't fail. You don't beat yourself up if you don't hit 4 times a week, but if you at least do it once a week, you're still making sure you stay somewhat disciplined.
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing is that when you want to make a shift in a habit, of any habit at all, we'll go stick with the physical right now. When you've been used to a particular way of being and you want to shift something, that's why I say taking small steps. Like you can go right from zero to the marathon. Absolutely. That can happen. That's possible for anyone. However, when you slowly build up, it gives you a chance to also shift who you're being in that space, because there's an identity shift in it as well as who you need to be as you change your habits. And I believe it's much more sustainable when you do things over time, as opposed to try to do something all at once. And really that's how I've gotten to where I have with everything in my world. It's just that those small incremental shifts stacked over time that get you to where you want to get to.
That makes a lot of sense, because if they always say, like, you know, you look at athletes or look at, you know, people who have certain skill sets, it's like the 10,000 hours over time. It's like not a like overnight story. Like the basketball player that gets that 3-point shot, they've probably been sitting there doing that for thousands of hours. So it's like muscle memory. You know, the violinist that hits that, you know, like that piece, it's because they've been practicing for years that they can do that. It's not just like a miracle. It's like there's a lot of hard work and it's something that you do over time. And over time, if you show up, it's kind of like my grandpa said, like if you show up and you do the work, you might not get it the first day, you might not get it the second day, you might not get it for like a year, but if you show up consistently, you eventually will end up being really good at what you do. You will get to be like an expert if you don't give up, if you stick with it. Oh, did you freeze up? Oh, did we lose you? Seems like you froze. That's not good. Did we lose your signal? Seems like we lost Teresa's signal. Maybe she'll come back in. You know what happened there? We're trying to get her back in. Hold on. Oh, that's always, might be having some kind of connectivity problem. Not sure what happened. Our internet's up. We might have lost our internet. Something happened. So it's, okay. Here we go. I think okay. we lost you for a second. I don't know if you had a power outage or something.
No, we've got. I'm close to the internet too. It's right here, and it seems to be active. But yes, unpredictable. But thank you. That's
okay. We kind of dropped off a bit. Well, it so happens we do a live podcast. You know, we do have to deal with technology, and the net sometimes is not fully stable. But yeah, we were going on and talking about the idea of consistency and just also just like figuring out what's sustainable. And I think a lot of people, you know, they think, you know, they don't realize that if you just try to build up gradually, that you can and you stick with something, then that will actually have a lot of good outcomes will come from that. Unless we lost her again. Try this again.
What's happening?
Oh, yeah. I don't know if you got a bad signal. What's going on? Sorry for the audience. We're just having some technical difficulties with our signal coming in from Teresa. So I'm not sure. Sometimes we might have to reschedule, but we'll try to see if we can save this episode. But we'll see if she can come back. We'll stick on and see if she can get problems. If she's constantly having the issue with the connectivity, then we might reschedule and start again at some other point, but we'll see. Again, we were talking to her because she is, just to give her background, here we go. See if we can get her back in.
How's that?
Yeah, you're back.
Okay, so what I've done is I've gone onto my phone Wi-Fi and it should be, that's more, it seems like it's stable, but obviously it's something. It's the evening perhaps here, and everybody's on the internet. It's family day here.
Oh, if a lot of people in the house use the net.
Oh, I'm sure at this time. Yeah, I never thought of that. And it's a family day. It's a holiday today. So.
Oh, yeah, that can actually affect the bandwidth. Yeah. You know, so it depends on what you're using. But if you're on the phone, it might have more stable.
Yeah, so I've got it on the phone now. I'm completely disconnected from the Wi-Fi here. I'm on
Sorry
the phone.
About that. Well, you know, you never know how it's going to behave if there's a heavy load. But
I was saying about the competency, the four levels of competency, and what I was referring to is that when you think of when we learned to tie our shoelaces. It was a big job to actually get down and learn how to tie your shoelace. You had to it was work. So that's considered conscious incompetency. So we're conscious of what we're doing, but we're incompetent. We can't do it. Mm-hmm. So you want to get to the next letter, next level, which is conscious competency. So at that point. The first one was unconscious incompetency. So we weren't even aware of it. We didn't even know what to do. The second one is conscious incompetency. It's when you actually are aware of what you're doing wrong or what you need to fix, what you need to learn. You're present to it, but you don't know what to do. You don't know how to, you're learning in that process. You're just beginning to learn. It's like, oh, why did I do that? Or, oh, I did it again. That sort of feeling, right? When you catch yourself, but you don't know how to fix it yet. And it could be behaviors you want to change. And then you've got conscious competency is when you're present to it, when you have something that you want to shift and you get present to when you make that mistake or whatever it is that you want to do or improve, but you now have some skill. So now you have the skill. Okay, I need to do this instead. So that's the third stage. And then you've got unconscious competency. What that means is automatic. When you tie your shoelace, you don't think about it anymore. It's just automatic, yeah. Right? So there's this four levels. And so we're going through stages of changing habits and wanting to step up our standards. It's getting to that level of conscious incompetency or conscious competency where we're actually present to it. We have a skill, but we have to keep practicing it over and over again until we get to the point where it's automatic.
Automatic. Yeah. You're kind of like riding a bike. Like the first time when you're a kid, you're falling, scraping your knee, you can't keep the balance, you can't get it. And you're like, well, how come I can't get it? My brother got it. My sister's got it, but I can't get it. And it's like, once you get it, then you don't even remember how you got it. It's just this automatic balance that somehow my body knows how to do that. And I can't even describe how I know it. Just, you got the equilibrium and it just is automatic. And it's kind of like a lot of things are like that. Like if you're scared of public speaking, the first couple of times you do it, you're probably going to fumble, you're going to make mistakes, you're going to be kind of stuttering, you know, not comfortable. Yeah. But if you continue to kind of push yourself into it, you'll start to learn how to read the room, learn how to kind of paraphrase, learn how to actually, you know, take your story and make it connect, get the audience the feedback. And then once it starts to happen, it's kind of like automatic. You do it enough times, you're like Tony Robbins or something. You just show up and boom, it's like, I can just do it. It's like, well, that's because you've been practicing. Exactly. And there's a lot of stuff that's something, it's like the bicycle. That, you know, the thing, there are things that are physical, like the bicycle riding, and the things that are more like mental, that it seems to be the same type of connection to me. It's like you get the same kind of, it just automatically, your brain pathways figured it out and you just know how to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And so one of the things I've learned is that when we want to make changes in our life and we want to create new habits and so forth, but we feel stuck, there's that feeling of stuck, even in our business, and we don't even feel connected to certain things. One of the things that you can do is look at your life today and what is your current life experience? What are you experiencing right now? And ask yourself this question, where do you think your life should be right now? Like, where should your life be? We always have these shoulds in our life potentially. And what happens is that when we have this current life experience that doesn't match where we think we should be right now, there's a gap in between there. And the challenge comes into play when you don't know how to actually get to where you should be. There's the gap and there's suffering that happens in there. There's frustration. There's everything that happens in there. So you can either be angry and upset that you're not where you should be right now, and you can blame a number of things for why you're not where you are right now. So what you can do basically is look at, okay, is that blueprint of where I should be, where I think I should be, is it really relevant right now? Or is it an old blueprint I've been carrying around with me? You can change that. Or you can look at your current life experience or your current life situation and look at, well, what do I need to do to get to that blueprint? Can I actually get to it? And it's in the gap everything happens. And you know, what I believe myself is that when you've got someone on your team, a community or a coach, someone that can support you, a mentor, when you are really clear on where you want to go, a clear, concise plan that's measurable. Also, when you're practicing daily habits that feed into the part of you that is going to lift you up instead of pull you down, when you're using language to yourself, it doesn't beat you up, but actually builds you up. Little things like that over time can help you start to move towards the life that you want to create for yourself. And that's where your mission, I also believe, lives, when you start to connect more with that heart that I said in the cup there earlier, that experience, then you can actually get connected more with that mission and feel like you're moving towards something that has meaning and not just, you're just doing something in order to get an end, whatever it be, financial and so forth.
Well, I think a lot of times the imposter syndrome kind of stops you. You know, because like you don't feel that you're good enough. And that could be like the ceiling that's like stopping you from getting where you need to go. And or you could be kind of comfortable in a codependency or comfortable in something that is really not what you want. but you've gotten used to the habit. So you're going to the 9-to-5 job that it's not satisfying. It's really not where you want to be. But it's like, it's harder to like go and do something that, well, I don't know if I'm going to get the paycheck. I don't know if I'm going to be able to pay my mortgage if I try something else. It's like the fear stops you from going to the next level until you figure out like, well, maybe you can take baby steps toward that, or maybe you can try things where it doesn't have to be all or nothing. And then you start to figure out like how, you know, maybe when that's when you talk to a coach or a mentor to say is like, it doesn't have to be all or nothing. Maybe I can have a process that I can get to the other side that doesn't have to be so dramatic.
Yeah. Well, a suggestion there is that if you are in something that you're not feeling very inspired by and you feel stuck, I would say take a look at what it is that you actually do enjoy doing. Where do you actually, when you're doing something, where is it that you feel happy, where you actually get some energy from? And look at, even if it's, let's just say, for instance, like you with music. Music is a big component, but let's just say you were doing something that didn't involve any type of music. And so I would suggest that, okay, well, why don't you just find something, even if it's a volunteer-based way of getting into the environment, just step into the environment of what you actually would love, even if it's volunteer, if it's like an hour a week, or find a community that's doing what you love, but you're not doing it as a job, but rather find a way to get into the space that lifts you up and brings out the best in you. Because the more you do that, the more you're in that environment, then your energy is going to shift. And as long as your energy is staying low, we get stuck in these little emotional homes that can be very confining, and we don't know the way out. And that's where that blueprint, that shoulda would blueprint is. And so it's connecting to communities or to volunteering, whatever it is that has you access that little piece of something you love, to start to shift how you're feeling, your energy, and your belief in yourself, what's possible.
Well, how do you deal with people who have kind of like a guilt or shame about trying to do something like that? Because they're like, well, if I'm, you know, I'm not, I don't deserve to be happy. I have responsibilities. I can't do something that's like foo-foo. I want to go into art. I want to go into theater. I want to join like the local theater group. But I, you know, I'm an accountant. And I got to pay my mortgage. There's a lot of things that people will stop. But like you said, you could go and do volunteer. You could do free. You could do something on the weekend. Mm-hmm. You don't have to. It doesn't have to be all or nothing. A lot of people think, well, I got to be a starving artist. My day job, I'm a software guy. But I spend a lot of time, and I'm a consultant. So I found a way to thread a needle. Like I can do that software design. And it's creative because I design stuff. And so it has some of the same aspects of my music career, because it has creativity, but it helps pay for the stuff.
Absolutely.
So if you find it, but if it doesn't have the schedule, is more controllable, because I'm a consultant, so I can kind of do things. If I want to take time off, I can go take time off. And so once you find like something that kind of fits your life, you could find different ways, but you might not think there's another way. Like, it could be a lot of mental blocks that keep you from thinking, well, there's no way to do that. Well, if you just say there's no way to do that, then you're not going to find the way.
And so the first thing I would really invite someone to take a look at is, what is the story you currently live into that you've created? Because it's, in that story is all your beliefs. If you were to write out your story of your life right now, today, and how your life is going, in that story, if you went back and assessed it, you'd find that there's a lot of beliefs in that story that, if you're not moving towards what really lifts you up, but what moves you away, in that story, there's going to be a lot of limiting beliefs and language, possibly, that's getting in your way, that's actually holding you back. And at that point, we have to look at, it doesn't matter how great what's out there for you, for strategies and so forth, as long as you live in a story that keeps you limited, then that's what you'll keep recreating. It's just going to be recreated because that's what you live in. What needs to happen is that you need to look at, what do I really want in my life? And even though it doesn't seem possible, and it may not be possible, because I'll tell you, a lot of times, like growing up with a single mom and no dad and not having any money and so forth, nothing ever seemed possible. I remember it was like, how can everything was like, though that we can't do that because we don't have the money to do that, all that stuff. But nothing ever seemed possible. But the thing is that you have to first start it with, what is it that you want your life to look like? Now, you could make it sound very, very big, and maybe it's maybe not possible to get to the point that you want to, but redesign the story that you want to live into. What is the life that you'd like to create? For instance, for 2024, look at, where is your life right now in 2024? And if what would really light you up if by the end of this year, 2024, if just one couple little shifts happened for you, what would that look like? What would your life look like? And what could you celebrate December 31st, 2024? And write that out, what that would be. Maybe it's just, it's to start exercising. Maybe it's to reconnect with people in your life, but it's a shift in the right direction that is lifting you up. And when you create that new story, then from that point on, it's beginning with, like, read it every day. Just read it, because you want to shift your state. Your state is everything. Whatever you focus on and give meaning to is what is going to really dominate how your day goes. It's going to filter your day through whatever you give meaning to your day and what you're saying to yourself. So take a look at, and I would invite everyone to take a look at, what is, what would have you feel like you're celebrating end of this year? What would that story look like? And then look at, well, what would I need to believe each day? Even if I don't believe it right now, what would I have to say to myself every day to at least begin to perhaps see that maybe that is possible? And
yeah, I think a lot of times it's like an affirmation, you know, like if a lot, I think a lot of times we have things in our head and then we don't speak out. Like, I'm a Buddhist, and part of our kind of belief is like when we do our chanting or our mantras, it's like we put a lot of focus into like, where do we want to be? Right. So it's like, I want to have like a productive life. I want to have a good day today, or I want to feel good today. Like if you put that mental energy and you speak it out, you have a lot of power in actually, you know, defining something that's like a positive goal. But if you're saying, well, I'm not good enough and I can never do this, and the can'ts and I nevers and all those things are just blocks. But if you start to open up and say, well, I can be successful, I will be successful, I am successful, it's a different mindset. And it seems like your body and your mind and your spirit and everything will get in alignment. And it's like a lot of times people are out of alignment because they might do too much, you know, physical exercise, but not enough mental toughness. So you could be somebody that has a really great physical body, but if you don't believe that your body is beautiful, you could still have a lot of negative feelings to stop you from moving forward. Even though you look really good, your head's not there.
Yeah, absolutely. And as I was saying about the story, here's the thing. What I believe and what my experience has been is that sometimes making change requires a lot of frustration. Something finally hits where it's like, no more, I'm not doing this anymore. That's when we make decisions that can be very big decisions in our lives. When you've hit a point, whether it be with a job, in a relationship, whatever it is, there's a moment in time, we've all done this, where we've made a decision because we were fed up or something happened and it was like, that was it, no more. And you made a decision and then you moved forward. And that's the challenge with getting in that comfort zone, which isn't comfortable actually when we get in comfort, because comfort is certainty. We all love certainty as human beings. It's one of our highest human needs. And moving into uncertainty is risk. And so, but what's great about uncertainty also is that's where we get our greatest growth. When we are in certainty, there's no growth. It's the same. However, we, as humans with a lot of times we'll stay in the certainty because we know it so well. And until it's so painful, something happens where we have to make a decision is where we'll shift. And so look at your life and find the areas that are not working for you right now. And is there something like, what is it that it's, what's the impact that area of your life is having because you have chosen to stay where you're at with regards to whatever it is, or not make a change or grow in that area. And that's where I say, write out what you'd like it to be in that area. And then take a look at what are all the limiting beliefs you have in that area. Write a list of them. We could have hundreds of limiting beliefs. AI could generate many of them if you ask the AI. But, and then look at what would have the beliefs that I would have to need in order, what I would need in order to get to what I really want in my world. But again, it's being okay to step out of the comfort and into the uncomfortable in uncertainty to grow.
Well, I think vulnerability, people are scared of that. And the one thing I love about, you know, creative people is like, they kind of live in that vulnerability, and they like, you're kind of driven as a creative person to do something that you maybe aren't the best at, right? You usually get really good at something and then you take risks. You go in different directions. And, you know, examples of this are like, you know, guys like Miles Davis. Miles Davis was like the standard bearer of bebop. Then he decided he wanted to do fusion. When he went to do that, all the bebop jazz people were like, "Oh, that's not jazz. What are you doing? Like, you're the best at this style, and you're pushing into another style. Like, what is this?" And they were all these naysayers and people who want to be in the canon. Say, "Well, how can you do that? You've gone outside of it." So a lot of times, if you step out of that zone, there are people around that like will not encourage you, and you're kind of stepping out there by yourself. And it does take a certain level of courage to kind of be on that, in that, you know, pioneer status. And it's hard. That's why not a lot of people get there, because like, it's not an easy thing to be on that kind of bleeding edge when not everybody's saying they love it. Not everybody's saying they like it. Maybe people aren't buying it. It's a struggle. It's like the effort, but that's kind of where the entrepreneurs who tried a different thing, and then eventually they get the world through like the law of attraction to see, for everybody that dropped off, I just gained a bunch of new people. They're like, wow, that is something different. I do want to get on that path.
Yeah. I think one of the things that you can do is really look at, and we go back to where your life is right now, but who, if you could just imagine who, how you would like to be right now, what's the life you want right now to be creating for yourself? Who do you need to be? And it's really about building you as a person, your superhero rather than your supervillain that my amazing coach also taught me. It's like, have you ever heard of the story, the phrase that says there are two wolves, the bad wolf and the good wolf? If they fight, who wins the fight? It's whichever one you feed. So it's the same with our words. Whichever one you feed, if you feed your super villain, well, don't expect to be lifting yourself up. You might as well just, that's like the bully in your brain just beats you up again. But if you feed your superhero, and I'll use that term, but that's the kid who's supporting you, and that little voice in your head that says, "Yeah, you could do it. Come on. Not the voice that says, "Get, like, you can't do that. You're an idiot," or whatever it is, right? Like, think about the bully. It's the bully that beats you up, but it's our own bully. I know that, like, when I grew up and I had these two bullies that when I was 12 years old and I was running, that's where I started to run. You know, I moved away. That was my hope, that I'd move away. And I was so happy when my mom said we're moving. I'm thinking, thank goodness I don't have bullies anymore. But the thing is that just because I moved away doesn't mean the bullies might not be the same place, but I brought a bully with me in my brain. It was my own brain, but that was the bully. And look at how many times you beat yourself up in one day. And that little bully, it needs to be told to, like, shut up, be quiet, and look at and start feeding your brain, feeding your mind things that are actually going to win, not lose with you. Because we forget this one world, this one life. And what we say to ourselves is it can be the potion to passion or so much more, or it can be poison. However, we feed ourselves with the words we give to ourselves.
Yeah, a lot of times we don't, self-love is like, some people, that's foo-foo. You know, people think like that's selfish, but it's not. Like a lot of times you can't move forward if you're not going to find a soulmate that's going to save you if you've got a lot of self-hate. Mm. Because that self-hate is never going away. And through the law of attraction, you're just going to find somebody that's going to kind of feed into it. And you're your own bully. And whoever you bring around you is going to reinforce that, because you haven't got out of that. So until you get out of that codependency, even it's like, if you're in the job and you keep on going to jobs where you have bad bosses, well, you're kind of, you know, you're getting into a situation where you don't think you deserve a boss that's going to align with you. So you keep on going to the same type of organization with the same kind of mindset. Well, is that really where you want to be? You're probably not in the right, you're not on the right frequency with the people around you. A lot of times, like, yeah. I believe, like, the kind of vibe. It was like, well, that's foo-foo. But you walk in a room, you can kind of get the vibe of people in the room. Yeah. You can get the, you know, like, if you have a very negative vibe, you're probably going to attract negative vibes around you. If you have a very positive vibe, then you're going to say, wow, this person is like a bright light in the room. Everybody's going around them, but they're kind of drawing all this energy. Well, that's because they've got that mindset. And it's just, it's radiating, and then it feeds that success. And it's not foo-foo. You got to, if you want to be on that train, you got to get on the train.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to challenge yourself, one day, let's say tomorrow, to challenge yourself, listen to what you say to yourself. Do you say things to yourself that are lifting you up or pulling you down? And if we, it's just like, what do we feed ourselves food-wise? Like, that's the fitness part. But what are you feeding your mind for mind fitness, basically? What are you feeding your mind that's either helping you expand or retract? And why not make it this year, 2024, to make that shift where anything's possible? One of the things that when I broke the world records, it was on a treadmill, 12 hours on a treadmill, the greatest distance, three times. And I raised a lot of money for a good cause. However, I was told when I was getting ready for that, like, are you crazy? You're going to hurt yourself. And there was all kinds of negative stuff that came to me beforehand. And I didn't get a chance to really train very much. But when I did, there was a lot of things that came up against me also during the run, first time with a windstorm and all kinds of things, and which would make me disqualified if I didn't keep going. But I had to believe what I did is I had to believe that I was going to do this, and I had an end in mind. And what I've come to learn from doing that three times on a treadmill, because I'll tell you, running even an hour on a treadmill isn't pleasant, but 12 hours is not exactly the most wonderful experience. However, I had a cause. I was doing it to raise money and to make a difference. And I had a huge community and I had a great team. But what I learned through that experience, physically, yes, I was physically active. However, I also ended up with a blister on one of those too, and I had to go through it. It was my mind that had to get me there. Not my body moved. It was my mind that was with me that entire time that wanted to stop. And I found a little dot on the ceiling, I remember the first time, and I focused on that dot. But I had to keep telling myself, I'm going to get there. I'm going to do this. And that's, I learned that anything is possible. Anything's possible. If you have a clear, concise plan, as I said earlier, you've got a team on your side, your own dream team, whoever that is, you've got support system in place. You have a vision of where you want to go and the belief in yourself, but others can believe in you too. And I believe anything's possible when you've got that formula. But in that space, there's uncertainty, and it's stepping into that. But that is where your greatest growth will be, when you step into uncertainty and allow the certainty. You don't have to know everything. Just move forward and keep going. And as long as you've got that clear, concise plan and you are committed to whatever the outcome is.
Yeah, it's like, I guess further into that, like you think about some key lessons that you've learned in your life. Like if you were going to kind of point it out, like, oh, what are three key lessons learned that you've made as a life coach, even in like coaching, things that you've learned that you think are valuable to the audience?
Well, I would say that checking on your emotional home, that's something I've learned. The emotional home is where we go to automatically, where we feel comfortable. And we have certain emotions that are consistent emotions we live through every single day. It's just habitual. So for instance, some people you might see that are always kind of feeling, looking down, and they're not very happy. Like, that's their emotional home. That's where they go to. So check in. Where is your emotional home? What are the emotions, the three top emotions you feel every single day almost, that are consistent on? And are they serving you? Do you need to shift those? That's something I learned. Do I need to shift certain emotions? That's one big thing. The second thing is that I also really have learned is, as I said earlier, around, we've got six human needs. And I learned this working with Robin's research with Tony. And six human needs, and that is, we've got certainty. We all love certainty as humans. That's like, we want to know that we're going to have, like, we're going to get the paycheck, or we're going to have whatever we need. We uncertainty is the risk, but also can be some excitement in there too. But there's a lot of risk, and not a lot of people are really going to be drawn to that. More so certainty. You've got love and connection. We all want to have love and connection at some level. We're all at different levels though. And then we've got significance. We want to feel important as well, acknowledged, but different levels. We can be acknowledged and feel significant. Some want a lot of significance. And then the two spirit human needs are growth and contribution. And that is, I learned, the greatest level of fulfillment you will have. When you are in a space of growing as a person and contributing in some way, doesn't mean financially, doesn't mean it can be still a little bit of your time. It can be in your work that you do on a consistent basis every day, a little bit of contribution. When you're making a difference in someone else's life, that's where we get our greatest fulfillment. And that's what I've learned as well. And the third thing would be that our beliefs can have such a powerful impact on where we are in our world today. And I'll use an example. If you look at this, there's this guy called Santa Claus that some of us were told as children existed, Santa Claus. Hopefully there's no children listening. But anyhow, so Santa Claus, we were told that there's a Santa Claus. And of course, what happened is that we would go to the mall and there's Santa Claus, right? Then there was evidence that, yeah, there's Santa Claus. And we were told that put cookies and milk out, or cookies, whatever. And Santa Claus was going to come down there in the chimney. I live in an apartment, so there was no chimney to come down. So he had to come through my front door somehow. And so there'd be Santa Claus, and there'd be presents there in the morning. And so there was this belief, and all this evidence kept stacking that belief to support it. Like, yeah, there's Santa Claus in your heart. As little kids, we believed it. And then one day something happens where either someone says, there's no such thing as Santa Claus. There's a cast of doubt sent out to you. And maybe you go into a mall and that Santa Claus looks different than the other mall. And you start to doubt, is that really Santa? That doesn't look like Santa. Or you just find out some secret, like that the gifts were in the closet. They didn't come from Santa Claus. And so that little cast of doubt, what happens there is that begins the journey now down the shifting of a belief. That belief now has just been challenged because you've just shown evidence that that might not be true. And now you start to look for all the evidence to stack to show that's not true, that belief is not true. And so you start to see all the things to support Santa Claus is not real. That was just a story, right? And so the same with our beliefs. If you look at our beliefs, if you have, let's just say you come up with 50 beliefs why it's not happening in your life right now, what you want. Well, go and now look for all the evidence that you're finding to support that belief. And then create the beliefs that you want. and then all the evidence to support why that belief can be true for you. And start stacking all the evidence in what you want, not all the evidence in what you don't want. Because if you keep looking for what you don't want, you keep finding it. But find the evidence to support what you do want. And that was the third thing I really learned.
I think that's a really universal story that a lot of people can understand. Because I think that happens a lot where people, you know, you suddenly, you know, you make a decision like, oh, I'm going to buy a car. I want to buy like an Accord. And then it's everywhere you look, you see an Accord.
Yes.
So it kind of reinforces, oh, I made the right decision. And now I see Accords everywhere. But they were there before. You just didn't see them.
Yeah. You're stacking your evidence to support what you want.
Yeah. You can do that. And they do that kind of automatically. But like on something you're going to buy, but you can do that with something you want. You know, that's maybe not something you're going to purchase, but a goal. Like you said, like if you want to have this goal that you can reach this particular achievement you want to make. So I want to get into public speaking. I'm going to go and start doing that. Within a year, I want to be successful and I want to, you know, start having people come to me as a coach. Yeah. And I've had a lot of people come on this program where they had that goal and they are in that goal and they're doing it. And it's like, because they made a choice that they wanted to be on the other side of that, not just thinking about it, but actually doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that goes back to what we started at the beginning, which is the chef versus the cook. That remember the latte that was just a transaction versus the latte that was an experience. And that's your life. Yeah. Is your life a transaction or is it an experience? And whatever you feed it, whatever your standards are that you allow for yourself, is going to make it a transaction, which is not going to feel very rewarding, or you can make it an experience and raise your standards, start to look at the beliefs and start to look for the evidence that shows that those aren't even real, those beliefs, just like Santa Claus, that belief there. And start to look for ways to step into more contribution and growth for yourself that will give you a greater sense of fulfillment in your life.
And then, like, once you learn how to tell your story and you learn how to be a good storyteller, and then you learn how to listen to other people's stories, then you kind of, this is how you get to be like a teacher or a mentor, is like you've taken these lessons learned. Yeah. From not only yourself, but other people, and start to learn how to apply what's the key thing that you should learn from this moment. And that's kind of what teachers and mentors, like, they have all these examples of these moments and opportunities and the different paths you can take. And they learn how to relay that. And then they learn how to not just do it at some group level, but actually be able to do it on an individual level and actually talk to an individual, and maybe it's not one size fits all. You listen to their story and then you figure out what applies. And I think people really gravitate to when they think they're being listened to, and they think they feel they're being listened to, and then they see that they're being listened to, and then they can actually, you know, activate and they start to, you know, blossom, because then they really realize they can get where they want to go.
Yeah. And start by writing the story that you want to create. What does 2024 look like? The 2024 that you want to celebrate at the end of the year, write that out. And then even go find a song that moves you, that actually gives you some energy, and read that story and listen to that music, and shift your state by just being in that music and reading a story. Read it every day, even if it doesn't feel like it could ever be true. That's okay. A lot of things that we don't believe can be true. If you stack them enough, just like the Santa Claus belief, you stacked it enough where it became a belief. Well, keep reading the story and stacking enough, and you'll start looking for the evidence to support it. You'll start seeing evidence to support it when you do that. But put something emotional to it, like a song, which will anchor it more with you.
Yeah. You give yourself that focus. You know, you give yourself something to kind of be like the soundtrack for your goal. And so a lot of people do use music to kind of reinforce their mindset. You know, you think about a lot of stuff that the Beatles wrote, that a lot of people, like, what they wanted to have that peace and love vibe. And there's a lot of hippies during the time. It's like, yeah, I'm into that kind of Lennon McCartney idea that it's like a group thing. I can think about peace. I can think about love. I can think about something that's positive. And, you know, Bob Marley did that. There's a lot of people with music, Stevie Wonder, there's certain types of music that can be like very positive,
yeah.
You know, and it can move forward and you feel like, oh, I'm not trying to go against them. I'm not trying to hurt other people. I'm like, I actually want to lift up humanity. And so mm-hmm. when you go toward things that are more encouragement rather than discouragement or dissonance or negativity,
yeah.
And there's place for certain things to dissonate because you want to like, oh, it's raucous. I want to hear a real hard rock song. But, you know, if you think about where you want to be, you know, mm-hmm. the punk rockers thrashing around, that might be fun for a couple minutes, but is that really going to move you forward? Like yeah. what's going to move you forward is the thing that's more positive. That's going to yeah. get you something productive, not and destructive.
And as you know, music is one of the greatest ways to evoke emotion and anchor moments in your life, because we all have a song when we hear it evokes some memory. And why not find that song that moves you and start reading this new story with that song and walk around in your superhero rather than the supervillain and just read it. And even though it's not true right now, if you read it enough, you might just find some evidence that starts to support, hey, maybe it's possible, or you might just start to believe a little bit in what's possible in you.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to kind of end the show. I think that is a real good affirmation. And again, we want to let people know we do have your URL, go.oncehub.com and then / Teresa Dugwell. And could you maybe tell the folks, like, if they click on that, what happens if they go to that website?
Well, that it's interesting as I'm learning about the world of podcasts, as I said earlier on. if you can search me also, I can give you an email address too, because I'm not sure where that will take you to scheduling an appointment with me at this one here. Mm-hmm. Actually, that's what it will do. So if you did that's this, cool. Feel free to, if anyone wants to reach out for any questions and you can schedule some time. I'd be delighted to give you any insights and help you look at 2024 and how it can be your best year.
Well, we do encourage folks to click on the URLs of the guests that we offer. And a lot of times they are URLs like that where you can book with the person we've talked to. And that's a way to do that. So we do encourage folks who have been on listening to this or are going to watch this, that, you know, that's a way to connect. And, you know, it's a good opportunity. If you're interested in what we've been talking about today, you want to click on that and find out more. And so I do encourage people to do that. And I want to thank you for being a guest on the Family Electric Ghost podcast. And it's been great. And I do encourage folks to check out your URL and to find out more about what you're doing.
Thank you. It's been great. Nice chatting and really interesting stuff you're doing. And thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you. Have a good night.
You too.